Tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Right, you're tuning to AWR. It's powered by SID Media. Thank you so much to everyone who is still listening. We are now getting started with our daily focus, blindness and spiritual darkness. Blindness and spiritual darkness. Now, I'm going to just introduce the discussion of the day, and then we're going to get right into it with the pastor. So as we explore sight from the spiritual realm, we cannot go on without addressing spiritual darkness and blindness, because, you know, it's kind of part and parcel with each other. In the book of Revelation, there is a stark contrast between the positive aspects of sight, often associated with spiritual insight, and passages that speak of spiritual blindness and darkness. Revelation presents a symbolic and visionary narrative that explores the consequences of both spiritual insight and spiritual blindness. So we're going to talk about this form of blindness that seems to be very problematic. Already in the intro, we can see that this is not a good state to exist in. So I will not waste time, and I will just get started with our first question. Pastor, in Revelation 3 verse 17, the Laodicean church is described as wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. So before we even get to why is that a illustration of the consequences of spiritual blindness, can you tell us who the Laodicean church is, just briefly, for the people who maybe it's the first time they hear about Laodicea? Who or what is this church?
Okay, the church of Laodicea existed in the city of Laodicea. And when John was writing a letter to that church truly existed. So that's what we need to understand first and foremost. Secondly, the church of Laodicea also represents the church of God from 1844 up to the second time of Jesus. So those of us who are Christians today, they belong to the church of Laodicea.
Okay. You know, there was a period of my life where not that I've lived really long, but there was a period where I genuinely thought like Laodicea was a symbolism. You know, the confusion of whether things in Revelation are really real or if everything is a symbol of something. I thought this might be even the first time that I've heard someone explicitly say the church was real, you know?
Yeah.
Me in my head, I'm thinking it's just God using illustration. It's the Revelation version of parables, you know.
Actually, I'm so glad that you have raised that issue. You know, there is the historical aspect of the book of Revelation,
right?
And there is the prophetic aspect of the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. And we need to know that the historical aspect is real, it is literal. So literally, there was a church in Laodicea. Mm-hmm. And the spiritual issues that are pointed out in the letter to Laodicea by John, those issues truly existed. And at the same time, even in the issue of lukewarmness, there were springs of lukewarm water in the city of Laodicea.
Right.
So these issues are literal, they are historical, apart from the fact that they are also prophetic, as we are applying them now.
Okay, you've just said lukewarmness. I wanted to ask, now this is now even just my personal selfishness of wanting to get an answer to this. when it comes to look, maybe you can clarify for me. Isn't it says that lukewarmness is not a taste that God likes, and He spews it out of His mouth? For me, I was like, okay, isn't lukewarmness a little bit better than being completely cold? Because it means you have completely rejected. Whereas on the fence, there's still an opportunity for you to get hot. Because for me, I'm always thinking, but lukewarm is not bad. It means you're almost there. You're working towards the heat, but you're just not there yet, you know?
You see, the problem with lukewarmness, it is a middle ground. Okay?
Yes.
It is the middle ground. And in as far as spiritual things or spiritual issues are concerned, there is no middle ground.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
So there is no middle ground. In spirituality, there is no middle ground. If I'm preparing water for a baby to birth, I need to have lukewarm water. The water must not be cold, must not be hot.
Mm.
But in as far as the spiritual issues are concerned, there is no middle ground, my sister.
Mm.
So you must be hot or cold. And the bad thing with being lukewarm is that you may not realize that you are in a very bad condition, because you may not improve. You may not also not go down. So you may feel everything is okay.
It's a very comfortable place to be in.
Yes. Mm-mm. It's a very bad place to be.
Mm-mm. Okay. I hope the listeners heard that. We do not support lukewarmness in this household, okay? Okay, let's get back to the focus of the lesson. So, the Laudation Church description of being wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked, how is that an illustration of the consequences of spiritual blindness? This might cover some of the other questions in the discussion for today, but maybe you can briefly share what spiritual darkness is, and then say how does the state of Laodicea illustrate the consequences of being in spiritual darkness or blindness.
Okay, spiritual darkness is actually a metaphor.
Okay.
Okay. It doesn't mean that one walks in pure darkness as literal as we may think of it.
I'm sorry, so Pastor, to disturb. Just a side note. Maybe you should consider. I'm giving you an idea. Maybe you should consider writing a book of the symbolisms and metaphors and similes and realism of Revelation, a guideline for people like me. I'm sorry, I just had to say that. You can continue.
Now you're pushing me to the corner.
I apologize. You can continue.
But Pastor, thank you so much for that idea. I think I need to think about it.
Please do.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to say that a spiritual blindness in this particular case is a spiritual condition.
Mm.
A spiritual condition that is characterized by being obstinate, by rejecting God, by intentionally, ignoring the light God has given us. Hence, leaving one in a state where you cannot see where you are and you can't see where you are going. That is spiritually.
Okay.
So it is something that is intentional, and it can be intentional ignorance of the word. It can be intentional rejection of what God is directing you to do. So that leads to spiritual blindness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it is a spiritual condition, briefly.
Okay. So then how then is the state of Laodicea a reflection of that, of what it looks like to, of the consequences of being spiritually blind?
Yeah. So simply because Laodicea was spiritually blind, Laodicea is described as wretched. Laodicea is also described as pitiful, poor. Blind is also put there, but also naked. But the question may be, what does being wretched spiritually means?
Mm-hmm.
Being spiritually wretched simply means that one has a spiritual poverty. One is empty.
Mm.
And simply because one is empty, you are wretched. There is nothing inside you. That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that Laodicea is also said to be pitiful. So the Laodiceans are described as pitiable simply because, you know, their condition invokes a sense of sympathy.
Mm.
Okay? They are in a state that is so dire that it calls for compassion, but they are unaware of their true condition.
Mm.
That's why they are pitiable.
Right.
Then they are said to be poor. And what does that poverty mean? It means that They are spiritually impoverished despite their material prosperity. And this talks to us. Sometimes we think that simply because we have every other basic need, then we think that spiritually it is okay. That's not the case. And the third thing, Laodicea is also said to be blind. And this blindness is also a powerful metaphor for spiritual ignorance and the inability to perceive the truth. And I want our listeners to take note of that. Inability to perceive the truth. So the Laodiceans may be unaware of their true, you know, their true spiritual deficiencies and may have lost sight or even of their genuine spiritual values. But lastly, they are said to be naked.
Right.
And I love this idea of nakedness because nakedness spiritually means that Laodicea is vulnerable, Laodicea is shameful, and Laodicea is exposed. And this is actually the lack of the covering of righteousness of Jesus Christ. So when Laodicea is said to be naked, it means that Laodicea does not have the righteousness that comes by faith from God.
That is very deep. I hope people are paying attention. These things are really important for us to understand because we live in a time where you could potentially be a member of such a church. You are an individual who is very laudation in your behavior. So be reflective of the type of life you're living, of your experience of the of your spirituality, to see what is your state and where you are. So Revelation 16 verse 10 and 11, it says, the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Men gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done. This is very, it's very, you know, I'm always the person who is like, when something is staring you right in the face, how can you reject it when it's right there, you know? And here, hearing them, they know that they are suffering because of what they are doing. And if they just turn away, things will work out. But they are like, no, we are so angry at you, God, for doing this, but we still won't do anything about it. What causes people to get to that point? Like, how do you get so far gone where no matter how dire of a situation you're put into, no matter how blatant God is exposing himself to you, that you still say no?
You know, Revelation chapter 16, verse 10 and 11 can really shake you to the root. Because what you see in Revelation chapter 16, verse 10 and 11 is a God who is giving all these judgments so that the people may repent. But the people do not repent. So what we see is that despite the evident divine judgment and consequences of their action, the people do not turn to God in repentance. And now, I think you would like to understand, why is it that they are refusing to repent?
Why?
There are two things which I want to point out here.
Okay.
Point number one is that what we are seeing here indicates a hardened heart and a refusal to acknowledge their spiritual transformation. That is to say, the people's hearts are intentionally hard. They are hardened completely. And then they are refusing to acknowledge their need for spiritual transformation.
Yes,
so it's like one is completely stoning me. Okay, you don't even see where you are lacking. You don't see your need. So this is what is happening. They don't see their need for transformation. Judgments are coming, but simply because their hearts are hardened, then they don't see their need. That's the first thing. The second thing is their own spiritual blindness that is portrayed here.
Right.
Because the adamant rejection of God's call to repentance, even in the face of power in a judgment, that is also a depiction of spiritual blindness. So there is adamant rejection to God's call, and there is also a refusal to acknowledge their spiritual transformation. So these two things are the ones which makes them to even curse God and do not need to his call.
And maybe it's naive of me to even also question these people, because now as you're speaking, I'm thinking of the children of Israel. You see, that is a nation that will always just rub me the wrong way, because they stress me out. But then I realize that it's so easy to point fingers and say, oh, God was so obvious with them and whatnot. But God is obvious with us too. It might not be in the same way. It might not be in the same capacity. But even as ourselves, there are times where we reject God, or we pretend as if we can't see what he's trying to say, or we brush off his nudges with our conscience, you know. So it's really easy to blame and point fingers. So I want to know, is there a way to identify that you're in spiritual darkness, and is there a way to get out of it before it's too late? I'd like to believe we still all have our probation. So what can we do to identify whether we are spiritually blind, and what can we do to get out of that state so that we can become right with God and we are no longer lukewarm or in darkness?
First and foremost, let's understand that according to Acts chapter 5 verse 30, it is the Spirit of God which gives repentance to Israel.
Okay.
And I'm going to repeat that so that our listeners can get it. It is the Spirit of God which gives repentance to Israel. Meaning to say, in as far as spiritual transformation is concerned, okay, there is a need for the beneficiary. There is a need for the subject who is the sinner to recognize the fact that it is the Spirit of God which gives us repentance. Meaning to say, you and me cannot even recognize our own need if the Spirit of God can't open our eyes. So our prayer or our focus should be on the fact that whenever we feel, whenever we hear that we are being called upon to do something, we need to pray to God to give us that particular discernment. Because if we cannot do that, even repentance itself, even confession itself, it is given to us. It doesn't belong to us. That's why we say that salvation is a free gift from God, according to Ephesians 2, verse 8, I mean 2, verse 9, 8 and 9, so that none of us can boast. So you see here that there is nothing which has its origin in us, in as far as a spiritual transformation or salvation is concerned.
Right.
Everything is a gift. So the issue should be that we should be in a state where we are able to see where God is leading us. And secondly, being able to take that direction. That's why we don't have to be adamant, because the more we are adamant, is the more our hearts are hardened. The more we are intentional, the more we become blind. The more we become obstinate. We reject simply because we are intentional in our wrongdoing.
Right.
So before we get to an extent that we cannot even hear the Spirit of God talking to us or guiding us to say, my son, this is the right way. Before we get there, that's why we need to be very keen to see the direction where God is leading us. Or else we become obstinate, we become blind that we can't see any light, and we become so hardened that we can't even feel the need for repentance and confession.
Wow. So then in what ways then is the contrast between the spiritual darkness and then having a spiritual enlightenment? How does it contribute to the overall message? Why is this contrast such an important theme in Revelations, the contrast between darkness and light?
The contrast between darkness and light in the book of Revelation is actually very, very important. I'm saying it is important because it helps us to see where God is. That's the first thing. It helps us to see where God is and where Satan is. Okay? That's the first thing.
Right.
We are able to see that, okay, fine, this is where God is leading us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the evil one is leading us.
Mm.
You are able to see salvation. You are also able to see destruction.
Mm.
That's the first thing that is very, very clear in the book of Revelation.
Right.
Secondly, the contrast between sight and blindness
mm-hmm.
is that it also gives us discernment and understanding.
Mm.
Because in the book of Revelation, sight is associated with the ability to discern between these two forces.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So if we have sight, we are able to see these two forces.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a Christian need to have that spiritual insight other than spiritual blindness, so that we are able to discern the two forces.
Mm.
That's the second thing. The third thing is that in the book of Revelation, there is an issue of judgment. Okay? Judgment is very clear because mm-hmm. those that are sealed are saved. Those that are not sealed, they are damned at the end of the day.
Mm.
So the judgments and the plagues that are there in the book of Revelation are there as a means of awakening us. So since there is a mention of judgment, then the contrast is good because it wakes us up
yeah.
so that we're able to reject darkness and accept light. And finally, the contrast is also good because there is an issue of transformation here.
Mm.
The book of Revelation, many don't see it, but the book of Revelation calls us to spiritual transformation. Say, for example, when Jesus Christ talks to those in the church of Laodicea, that they need to recognize their spiritual condition. God is expecting that these people should be transformed. So transformation comes through repentance. Transformation comes through faith. Transformation comes when we align ourselves with God's purposes.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't do that, then the contrast comes in to say we are blind and we are not even recipient of God's.
No ways.
Spiritual graces.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
at the very end.
Mm.
Hello?
Yes, yes, you're there. You're there. You can continue.
Yes. At the very end, we also need to understand that this contrast is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are many people who go into the book of Revelation and all they see is darkness. All they see are these weird beasts. All they see is God casting people in the lake of fire. But the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ himself. So
right.
The contrast is very important because it helps us to see Jesus. It helps us to see his love. It helps us to also see what he is saving us from and taking us to the new Jerusalem in heaven. So we are able to see everything without anything being hidden from us.
Mm. Wow. There's a lot. Thank you so much, Pastor. We are going to continue with our unpacking of sight and revelation tomorrow. But I think today we have a better picture of what spiritual darkness is and the consequences of being in such a state and why we do not want to be members of the Laodicean Church. So thank you so much for your time with us this morning, Pastor.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, our listeners, and may God bless you all.
God bless you too. That was Pastor Luvani, and he has helped us come to a better understanding of spiritual blindness and darkness. We thank him so much for his time.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.